you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, August 23rd, 2016. Pastor Joe, I'm going to introduce you on the front end of this program because for those of you that were tuned in yesterday for the Monday edition of Market Friends, I think we got 21 minutes into the interview before I formally introduced Pastor Joe Humrichaus and talked about his ministry and his work and his recently released new book, The Life of the Vine and the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. And so I think at the very end of the program, I formally introduced him. So let me point out yesterday's program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Look for Joe's name and then the title, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church. And so we're going to pick up a little where we left off yesterday. But let me introduce you, and I want you to do a bit of a reading into section four. So I'm going to cover the table of contents. But it's a strategic chapter that I think will be helpful for introducing people to the seven stewardships of revival and your heart for teaching pastors and equipping the church and helping our listeners connecting with the vine. We discussed some of that yesterday, and that program, as mentioned, is archived. But I'd like you to begin with a little reading in just a moment. But thank you for being available to spend some more time with our listeners. And as I mentioned yesterday, you and the JAM team, you and Pastor Andy and Mike with the First Baptist Church of Covington have been here in the studio in the past and have been supportive of the station. And in fact, I know you pointed out some of the programs that you enjoy listening to and our connection with Pastor Lutzer and Bruce Munsterman with KHCB. And so there's a lot of kind of crossover on people that we appreciate or ministries that we listen to. But you're a pastor and conference speaker, and you're currently the executive director of Bible Prayer Fellowship Midwest and a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana. You're a graduate of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, and along with achieving your Bachelor of Arts degree and also attending Temple Baptist Theological Seminary, earning your Master's of Divinity. You're married to lovely Teresa, and we'll have to do a little shout out for her, how you guys got brought together, as I digress once more. Anyways, you have a wonderful family of 5 grown children, 13 grandchildren, and you live in West Lebanon, Indiana. But let me cover the table of contents. As you know, we've talked off air. I kind of jump all over the place, especially when I get excited, and you and I have had some wonderful prayer time together, and I think you've kind of been raised up by God to counsel me a little and be a great voice. As many of our listeners know, the Great News Radio Center is being launched. I signed the lease agreement that was Wednesday after the board meeting. I talked a bit about it on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. I can't wait to see how God uses the center to his glory. And off air, you and I were talking about it and the unique ways of the visibility and how people can come and be ministered to or be taught, maybe even a seminar that you're going to lead. And we'll talk a little about that. But let me give an overview for the listeners that are just tuning in and maybe missed yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends. But about 51 years ago, God continued to do a work in Pastor Joe, raising him with the vision to be a pastor, to be a teacher, to proclaim his word. He learned early on that connecting with the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, was first and foremost. Some of this is mentioned in the book. He has a chapter about crashing and burning, finding himself working really, really hard because that was the thing to do, but almost doing it in his own energy and not connecting and finding the strength through the vine, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he talks a little about that in the book, and we highlighted some of that yesterday. But this book has been in the works for about 51 years, and in the table of contents, besides the dedication and acknowledgments and some of the introductory remarks and the heart of this book and how to read it, he has 5 major sections: The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Preacher, The Life of the Vine in the Heart of Revival, The Life of the Vine in the Prayer Life of the Church, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, and the life of the vine forever. So we'll have you talk a little about these, but how about beginning with a reading out of section 4, the life of the vine in the soul of the church, because you were saying how you have a real passion to equip pastors to help them see the importance of their ministry in their church and how to bring about revival, not only through their own personal transformation, the soul of the preacher, but by helping influence the church, the activities or what goes on in those doors. And I think by beginning with a reading and then some of your thoughts on how God can use this chapter, this section, to equip the believer, the pastor, to be more effective in serving the greater body of Christ at large.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. It's a joy to be here. Before I read this introduction to section 4, let me just say that I believe that all that's in my heart about ministry can be summarized in 8 words. Jesus Christ, obviously present and actively in charge. Now, that statement is not original with me. It came to me at a strategic time in my life when, as a church, we were learning to pray. And I had been introduced to a gentleman in Dallas, Texas, called Oliver Price, who it was suggested that he mentor me and our church in prayer, which he did. For 23 years, he mentored me and was such a joy. He wrote a book, The Power of Praying Together, and we had the joy of participating in that book as well. By the way, that's in the process of being republished, so we may take hold of that in the near future and have that available. But anyway, I called him in February of 1988 after God had worked in our church, and I had invited him to come. Now, I'm on the phone, and I called him simply to say, Oliver, you're going to be here in a few days. What are you going to speak on? Because I was getting bulletins ready for our people. And you know, he said to me, Mark, these words, and it changed my life forever. He said, I'm going to speak, Joe, on Jesus Christ, obviously present and actively in charge. And when he said that, it's like all the definitions of revival that people give, whether it's incremental revival or sovereign visitation, that focused my revival lens. Because in our churches, when Jesus Christ is allowed to be obviously present and actively in charge, everything is then under his direction. So the church is not preacher-centered, and it's not board-centered, and it's not a family-owned church, nor is it a congregation-centered, but it's Christ-centered. And I realize we use that language, but most of the time in our activity, we treat Jesus like a figurehead, not as an active head. And so this book is all about the active headship of the church. Well, that sounds good, but then on a practical note, for me, I had to be asking the question, how can I allow Jesus Christ to build his church and still maintain responsible leadership? And so the answer to that question came to me seriously over a period of 25 years, waiting on God, watching him work, ministering to people, studying and applying the truth. And so God, after those years, gave me what I call 7 stewardships of revival. And all they are is human response to Jesus' activity. So that all being said, here's the introduction to section 4, in which we track that activity. The following chapters are timeless, not trendy. They fit any size congregation. They work in large cities, small towns, or country churches. They fit any culture. I have taught these principles in North America, South America, and Asia, and no matter where they have been shared, they were received with the same encouraging response. They are meant to be good news, which comes from the life of Christ and the power of his gospel, opposed to good advice, which may have applications only for a particular genre of church setting. They're not meant to be a cookie-cutter methodology, and they are not new. In fact, one time a local man commented on my teaching and said, "We really like Joe's teaching, but he just never says anything we don't already know." And he was sincere. Knowing this, let me encourage you not to look at the newness of the truth, but rather the order in which each truth appears. This will give us an idea of what our response should be to Jesus as he builds. We will know how to cooperate with him as the vine. In some ways, this is simply a stewardship of abiding on a corporate level. Mark, you've mentioned that several times in our conversation, the idea of abiding. And this is the stewardship of abiding on a corporate level. I continue with this. Remember, this is not how a pastor builds a church. This is about how a pastor leads his congregation to cooperate with Jesus while allowing him to build the church, which he purchased with his own blood. The application of these is for a local congregation. So if Jesus Christ, obviously present and actively in charge, is our definition of revival, then a proper stewardship of his life and activity in our midst will allow revival to be the lifestyle of our church and will release the transforming power of the gospel. The potential of these seven stewardships is limited only by the sovereignty of God himself.
Now you list watch the order by grace, through faith, in worship, in warfare, by choice, within the church, and then into the world.
Yes.
Talk a little about this.
Well, somewhere in our discussion, I probably said that in 1988, I was speaking in Fort Worth, Texas, and actually in my search, and I had a week to myself to be able to study and prepare for messages, and I was doing a conference there, I actually developed six messages on the spot about this activity, but the Lord wouldn't release me to write about it until like 2013, so that's a lot of years. And that year, he gave me the seventh stewardship, and then I felt it complete, and then that released me to start writing in 2:14. Okay, so first of all, we start by grace. And the idea there is that Jesus initiates ministry. We don't. And we're better off if we can watch what he's doing and then join him. And I get that pattern from Jesus himself because he said, I listen to the Father speak and I speak. I hear the Father's words and I give his words. I watch the Father work and I do his. I join him in that work. And Jesus himself never initiated anything. So why should we? And so we're always trying to come up with ideas when really, if we will observe, we will find that Jesus is always moving in our midst by one grace or another. And in that stewardship, Mark, I just love to challenge churches to say, look at the grace. Observe what's coming in. Everybody that comes through the door, including the babies, every open door, consider if this is not God's grace moving in your midst, opening doors for you. So then once that happens and we observe those opportunities like a stewardship, the next thing is to embrace them by faith. And I say in the book, the good and the bad and the ugly. And you know, the honest truth is, God has allowed false teachers to walk through the door of our church. And you say, well, that's bad. That's Satan. It could be Satan. Or it could be God seeing if we've done our homework. And so even like when God allows some disastrous things, if I can learn to embrace them by faith, like Habakkuk, he's my example here. He's the one that coined the phrase under God's leadership, the just shall live by faith. And so our second stewardship is to embrace what God gives. That authority of Jesus then continues as we worship. That's where we get the chapter in worship. And there, that whole chapter is about maintaining our first love relationship with Jesus. You know, I found from a study of the church in Ephesus there in Revelation 2 that a church can be doing everything right, but still leave its first love. And then the Lord Jesus says, if this doesn't change, I'm going to shut you down. Yeah. You know, we think we get shut down for adultery or laundering money or something. But Jesus says, you leave your first love and I'll snuff out your candlestick. And that's where every church starts going bad, when they leave their first love. So therefore, a vertical heart of worship is crucial. So that's the stewardship of worship. Then I put warfare. In warfare, So it's by grace, through faith, in worship, and in warfare. I think what has happened back in 85 is that the church that were involved in that great move of God, in some cases, we kind of thought, well, we'll not have any problems after this. We've had revival.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true, because what becomes alive is also a target for Satan's attack.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to become really strategic at warfare, learning how to use our spiritual weapons. And so it's in warfare. We have to realize that. And really, warfare, when we come through it, is the basis of us having authority with God in prayer and able to help others. And so what happens through warfare? I want to quote a verse here. Paul said, "There must also be heresies among you, that those that are approved may be made manifest." And Mark, whenever you have tough times, those that are really going to endure those tough times, they rise to the top like cream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they become the great potential disciples in which you can invest your time and the word and so forth. So then that leads to chapter 5, which is by choice.
Okay, and I'm going to jump in right now, leave the last three for just a moment, because if somebody's just tuning in, they say, what are they talking about? Who is this being interviewed during this Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends? We have back for the second day Pastor Joe Humrickhaus, and he's currently the Executive Director of Bible Prayer Fellowship Midwest and a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana. He's the author of this new book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival, and he was on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, and we kept him over because there's so much to share and say about this book and this great topic about abiding in that vine. Many of you are familiar with John chapter 15, and I appreciated our friendship. And this book is available at fbccovington.net, fbccovington.net. Click on the resources button. In fact, a couple of the other pastors there or church members also have written some books, so there's some great publications available at that resource link. That's fbccovington.net. But I so appreciate this book and Pastor Joe's involvement in my life these past couple of years, I guess. And you may have remembered a past interview with him and a couple of his friends called the Jam Brothers, Joe, Andy, and Mike. Appreciate their ministry there at the First Baptist Church of Covington and Covington Christian School there in Covington, Indiana. And so yesterday we covered some of Pastor Joe's story and testimony, which is also recounted to some degree in this book, but his heart and soul is advancing the church and the ministry of us by abiding in the vine. And through this book, The Life of the Vine and the Soul of the Church, I think we can be very mindful of a number of things. And as he mentioned, by grace, through faith, in worship, in warfare. And there's three more. These are those seven stewardships of revival. And that's part of your heart, is seeing that God would bring revival to the church by educating the pastors and the individuals, the congregants, members like me, that can help influence that as we allow God to work through us, right?
Right. And we must understand that Jesus is always working. Mm-hmm. And what he does is always bringing lasting fruit. The natural byproduct of his activity is lasting fruit.
Mm.
And so what I want to do is capture his movements so that we in our church can always be seeing that lasting fruit come out and walking in a spirit of revival. I understand that every church needs to plow up its fallow ground. I understand that. But there's no reason for us to be defeated. There's no reason for us to be divided. There's no reason for us to not enjoy this awesome process of Christ alive in us and our local congregations.
Mm-hmm.
On a corporate basis. So these chapters are designed to capture that. How do we do that? And how do we lead our churches to capture that? So you've already mentioned Jesus comes in by grace. We embrace that through faith. We continue in worship and in warfare if necessary. And then those that birth out of that warfare successfully were able to disciple. Mm-hmm. And I just love discipleship. And this is a stewardship of those who have made the choice to stand by the stuff and keep going. We can take them under our wing and mm-hmm. disciple them. Then they learn to minister within the body of the
mm-hmm.
church. And this is when the body ministers to itself in love. There is a ton of opportunities right within the own body to train people, you know, whether they're ministering to little ones or to the elderly. And then those that get so fired up with God's grace, they actually become voices in the world, and they're joyful witnesses of the grace of God, and that becomes evangelism. So seeing it together, Jesus comes in by grace, we embrace it by faith, continue in worship and in warfare, by choice, within the church, and then into the world. And I just think, Mark, it just works. It works at our church. It's worked over and over again in churches that have applied it. And I've got it down here just to share and encourage pastors with.
And the book is titled The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival, written by Joe Humrickhaus. And we appreciate your time these 2 days being available during Mark and Friends. And you can purchase copies of this book at fbccovington.net. FBCCovington.net. But you've been open to God leading you in a variety of ways, oversight of a church, but also hosting and holding different workshops and seminars. You've traveled around the country, and I know there's something that's going to be put on at the First Baptist Church coming up September 16th through the 18th. It's kind of a weekend, Awaken Me weekend. Can you briefly, in our closing minute, talk about what's going on, how people can get registered, or why attend this Draw Near to God and He'll Draw Near to You, Turn, Pray, and Unite conference?
We are joining as a church the One Cry movement, which is nationwide, to get people to join together and pray for our nation. In order for that to happen, people have to be awakened. Mm-hmm. And so we've invited this volunteer team under Life Action Ministries to come and minister in our church and give a sense of reviving to our church for a concentrated effort over that weekend, birthing out then into a prayer ministry that we trust will help to turn our country around.
Put it on your calendars, Great News Radio listener, September 16th through the 18th. It's being hosted at the First Baptist Church of Covington, Indiana. To find out more information, you can call 765-793-2177. That's 765-793-2177. And to find out more about the book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival, you can stop by fbccovington.net, fbccovington.net. Well, thank you, Pastor Joe, for being available for yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends. And as I mentioned, we'll see how God maybe works through where I can bring you in to the Great News Radio Center and maybe do a workshop or a two-hour session for area pastors and really encourage or revitalize their ministries to see the unique and effective role they can play in bringing about revival as the Lord would lead. So we'll talk some more in the days ahead. Please be praying up Pastor Joe and his varied ministry, not only at the First Baptist Church of Covington, but as he goes out and speaks and equips the church to be effectively drawn on the Lord's strength, that vine that we so dearly love, the Lord Jesus Christ. So thanks, Pastor Joe, for being available for today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends.
My joy and privilege. Thanks a bunch.
And thanks for tuning in, listener. May you be blessed and walk in cadence with the Lord's leading today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.